Ready for your next big revenue leap? Stoke RGA helps $75 million plus manufacturers uncover hidden gaps, align teams, and scale what's working. Our clients don't just grow, they lead. Learn more at StokeRGA.com.
Welcome to another all-new episode of New Manufacturing Insights, the official podcast of the Northeast Wisconsin Manufacturing Alliance and Insight Publications. I'm Ann Franz, Executive Director of NUMA.
And I'm Kate Bruns, Editor of Insight on Manufacturing. This week's episode is brought to you by Stoke RGA, a revenue growth accelerator built for scale and backed by execution. Learn more at StokeRGA.com.
Every manufacturer I talk to tells me the same two things. We cannot find enough people, and growth is harder than it should be. Today's guests say those two problems share one root cause, and the fix is not another job posting. It is already on your payroll.
Walt Melcher is the CEO of Bold Value Partners and author of the upcoming book, Bold Value Selling. He is joined by Hans Bachmeier, a career manufacturing leader, and we're so happy to have them both in the studio today. Walt and Hans, thank you so much for being here.
Great to be here. Thanks for having us.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
So, Walt, let's start with you. Tell our listeners a little bit more about who you are and how you came to work with manufacturers.
Yeah, so manufacturing holds a special place in my heart. When my families came to America from Germany after World War II, it's those small manufacturers that gave them jobs, helped them get their lives started. And so this is my way of giving back and really connecting and offering my skill set to help them grow and give back to them. And so over the last three decades and change, I've been selling and leading revenue growth for Fortune 500 companies as well as small to mid-sized businesses in different parts of the country. And over that time, I've been studying and researching how do companies and salespeople best grow revenue? Is there a process that makes sense? Are there certain techniques? Are there certain skill sets, or is it all charisma? And what I've learned is that I put this system in a book called Bold Value Selling that helps companies just improve revenue growth in a more logical way that can help profitability along the way, by the way, and all manufacturing companies love that. So manufacturing companies have been early adopters, and it's been great to be able to help them. And we'll dive into that a little bit more in a bit.
And so, Hans, tell us a little bit about why you're joining today's conversation with Walt.
Yeah, given the impact that manufacturing has on our GDP, it's about 25% overall, and the opportunities that manufacturing presents to employment and the impact it has on our community. It's been a passion of mine since I've been leading companies for the last 35 years.
Mm-hmm. So, Walt, you recently shared with me that the talent gap is costing manufacturers millions. So what do you mean by that?
Yeah, that's a great question. Kind of a provocative statement, right? And as we dig into this, we'll unfold this a bit more for you. But if you think about even your own studies at NUMA, which is fascinating, it talks about the Vitality Index, and it makes the case about all this. And I saw that about 68% of this region's manufacturers expect sales to grow this year, but about 75% can't find the people to help them do that. That's significant. And so the lever that these companies tend to pull then to help improve sales is defaulting to what? To improve sales, to create their deal that they're working on with a prospect to be more urgent. What's the most common lever they pull, Hans?
Price.
Price. So they discount to win. And when you discount that much, and I'd love to hear Hans's perspective on this, being a president of different divisions and companies over the years, how that impacts revenue, how that impacts margin. And when you discount so much and dig into your margin, it adds up. So, and the evidence backs that up as well. You know, when you talk about, you know, how many salespeople, there's a lot of research on this, how many salespeople actually hit their quota every year in manufacturing? And the research tells us it's only about half of salespeople. And the other half are struggling, and the company is trying to figure out, we got a team of salespeople, half of them are good at selling, and the other half aren't. And we're here to argue that it's not just a talent problem, and it can be fixed.
Can't wait to learn more. So, Hans, from the president's chair, do you see this on your P&L or ability to forecast with confidence?
Absolutely. Typically comes as the fastest margin erosion impact as we look to close deals, typically we tend to sharpen our pencil at the end of the process, mm-hmm. where that work should have been done well in advance, so at very earlier stages. So it is one of the quickest ways to erode margin. And even if you feel like you have good intent to provide your customer with a deal, even if it's 1%, 5%, even sometimes, hey, just give them 10%, it feels kind of innocent, but multi-million dollar deals, that turns into millions of dollars in a hurry. So the intention of the salesperson at the end, do you want this deal or not, kind of, right, then it feels like an internal debate. And of course, we want the business. Of course, we want to take care of the customer the best we can. But all that work should have been done earlier in terms of understanding what the pain points were. And if you have to discount at the very end, something else wasn't maybe addressed correctly in the sales process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and I just add to that, too. If our listeners do the math on that, so let's just take a $100 million a year manufacturing company, and their salespeople on average discount, let's just say 5%. Sometimes it's 10, sometimes it's 1. But if they're averaging 5% discounts on these deals, that bleeds into about $5 million mm-hmm. of their revenue. It's mm-hmm. significant. Mm-hmm. So they have $5 million less to reinvest in the equipment they need, or reinvest in the people they need to train, right. or the people they need to hire, mm-hmm. right?
Right. So what should leaders do?
So that's a good question. So let's move there. So we've come up with a few different methodologies that are very simple to follow, and it saves them millions in discounting so they can actually reinvest in their people and their business. And so oftentimes, you know, working with so many sales leaders around the country and presidents of manufacturing companies and heads of HR for that matter, right? Great people working really hard. But when they think about this, they automatically think, all right, half our sales team isn't hitting quota. What should we do? Mm-hmm. You know what we got to do? It's our culture really not to fire a lot of people here. We want to keep our people. They're hard to find. Mm-hmm. Let's go hire that hero. Let's go bring in that great sales rep from our competitor and bring him or her over here. So they're looking for that unicorn. Mm-hmm. And what we find is that 99 times out of 100, it's not finding the hero salesperson. It's actually implementing and trying to understand where the gap is in your sales process first. And it comes down to what system do you have? And so we're going to offer mm-hmm. to your audience here, your listeners, mm-hmm. two tools today. This is the first one. Ask these three questions. So leadership takes a look at how you're selling and how your people and the teams are doing. Question one is your revenue growth process written down from the first sales outreach to the signed PO? Mm-hmm. Number two, is it coached every week by the managers, not just inspected when a deal is in trouble in a reactive mode, right? Mm-hmm. That's normal. But number three, the third question is, would your marketing materials and any two of your salespeople describe your value that you articulate to the marketplace the same way? Mm-hmm. And if you're answering no to at least two of those questions, chances are is that you're relying on tribal knowledge and instinct to help you grow your revenue. And it's not a repeatable system.
So I have worked in marketing for a lot of my career. And so I'm hearing what you're saying and know that I've been there. And it sounds easy, but it's not. What does this look like in practice?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, you know, Hans, we talked about, you know, kind of the three pillars of making this work right. Right. You need good people. Mm-hmm. Right. It starts with a system. You have a defined system, selling process, people skilled with the capabilities to execute it. Mm-hmm. And third is discipline. Right. So system, mm-hmm. people skills, mm-hmm. and discipline. Mm-hmm. The three work together pretty simply. Mm-hmm. Right.
So, Hans, you've been the one signing the checks in a lot of roles. What do sales teams get wrong about selling to you in the past?
Yeah, typically they kind of just show up and they're very proud of what they do, and they should be, but they kind of just tell you everything that they do, why it's so great. They don't take the opportunity to really learn about our company, our business, our priorities, our needs. Mm-hmm. And so it falls kind of short of, well, that sounds great, but it doesn't align with any of my mm-hmm. my pain points and our company's pain points. So it's really kind of just showing up and regurgitating a lot of different things that may or may not resonate. Mm-hmm. And that's where they really fall short, is not really asking questions, understanding our needs.
What's the third filter?
Well, I'm glad you brought the filters up. I want to set the three filters up first.
Okay.
And let's dig in a little bit, because this gets into the second tool that we want to offer your audience. Okay. It's just something you can put to work on Monday morning immediately in your leadership meeting or your next sales leadership team meeting. And so let's think about the people, because ultimately it takes people to execute this. And I talked about that a minute ago. But when you think about any team, whether it's your engineering team on the floor, working the service techs that go out to take care of the customers, or your sales team, any leader looking at that team can typically see, hey, who's my top 20% performers? Who are my middle 60%? Who are my bottom 20? Okay, that's just life. Most leaders kind of look at things that way or in varied ways like that. So when you think about your middle 60%, Harvard Business Review actually did a big study on this not too long ago, and it talked about how if you can increase the performance of your middle 60 and focus on them, improve them, give them the system, give them the skills and capabilities, and provide the coaching to encourage the discipline to execute it, you can improve performance from that middle 60 by about 19%. Mm-hmm. Let's just work in general numbers here. Let's just say, hey, it's on average 15%. So if you can look at and ask those questions to identify where's the gap in your revenue growth, is it talent? Is it a missing system that's written down and people can repeat and follow? Or is it the discipline? Mm-hmm. And when you can hone in on that and improve that middle 60%, there's a very high probability that you're going to improve your revenue growth by around that 15%. It's extraordinary. Mm-hmm. So it sets up the three filters. And I'll hit the first one. And filter number one gets into kind of asking the question. So when we think about asking the question about looking at the sales team's pipeline, whether it's on a spreadsheet, sometimes manufacturers don't always use CRMs and all the fancy technology, could be in a spreadsheet. Look at the customers, the notes for every customer that's in that pipeline. Does the salesperson have written down anything related to what that customer is trying to achieve as it relates to their strategic goals by solving the current problem that you're trying to sell a product to solve? That's number one. Mm-hmm. And the answer to that question is very important, because if you can't figure that out and they're missing what their prospects are trying to achieve from a strategic goal perspective, then what value does your product or solution really have to them? It falls back on product and specs and price. Mm-hmm. And then when it comes down to negotiate and you're trying to win against your competitor, what do they see? Specs and price, not the strategic value. So that's filter number one. All right. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
Okay, good.
We have presidents, HR leaders, sales leaders, and engineering VPs listening. So what should each of them do this week?
That's a good question. I'll touch on that, and I'll lead in with the other two filters, because I don't want to lead our audience hanging.
Okay,
But that's a good question. I'll let Hans kind of talk about that in a minute. But the other two filters are, has the salesperson identified all the stakeholders involved? Right. Hans mentioned that, he touched on it earlier. Are they talking to the right people that are in charge of achieving, who are accountable for achieving those strategic long-term goals that their board holds them accountable to? And then the third filter is really more that strategy test. And can your salesperson or salespeople state in the customer's language leadership's actual strategic goals? All right. So you have the first filter being, do they understand the goals? Are they quantified? The second filter is, who's related to making the decision and influencing the decision, those stakeholders? And the third one is, have you identified what their goals are in their words? Mm-hmm. So it's more relevant to them. So you can articulate your value. Mm-hmm. Your bold value is the point that breaks through the noise in leadership's language to the company you're trying to work with. And in terms of the HR people and people that need to think about this, Hans, I'll let you speak to that from a leadership perspective.
Yeah, I would just add that it's about mindset, that every function, every person in the company has some touch point to the customer experience. And first and foremost, recognizing that, what can I do to change what I do to improve that customer experience? Mm-hmm. Get an appreciation for the customers, get an appreciation for their needs and strategies. It could be joining a sales staff meeting. It could be joining a marketing meeting where they're talking about voice of customer, getting insights. So getting that much closer to the customer, to the market, to the needs, can start embedding a deeper knowledge of that customer experience. A lot of times customers will visit our facilities, and so making that a customer experience different from the competitors and all of us, every function has a role in that.
So any final thoughts for our listeners?
Yeah, so first of all, I would say the successful leadership teams I've worked with over the years, you know, it comes down to systems and then people, right? People are important. If they're not working off, you don't give them a system that they can rely on, execute, that everybody is singing off the same sheet of music, that makes a big difference. Otherwise, you're asking your people to kind of figure it out on their own, use instincts or outdated techniques that might not work. So from a leadership perspective, systems, and then give the people the capabilities to execute the system.
Mm-hmm. Is your book out now?
The book is coming out later this year.
Okay.
And in advance of that, we've been working with our publisher and some other resources to develop a resource we're going to share with you to offer to your audience at no cost. Mm-hmm. And that's a leadership piece, a white paper that is titled The Leader's Guide to Predictable Revenue Growth. And it talks about in greater detail what we just went through with developing the right system and having the people, you know, give them the people the capabilities to execute mm-hmm. that system. And a worksheet in the end that you can take to your leadership meeting and go through and have just a discussion to apply it to your own business.
So Walt and Hans, I know you've listened to the podcast before, so you know that we always conclude our episodes by asking each of our guests to share their best leadership insight. So take it away. What is yours?
All right. Well, I'll start. For leaders, I would suggest what I've seen over the years is take the time to outline your system that makes sense for your business and equip and give your people the capabilities to execute that system. And stop looking for that unicorn, the hero in the marketplace that you think is going to save your revenue. Because what happens when your top salesperson or top two salespeople leave in that year? Do you have the system and the process in place to back that up and keep the engine running?
Mm-hmm. Hans?
Just to add, this isn't quite my perspective, but to follow Walt's comment there is then to have the discipline to follow the process. Sounds kind of obvious, but it's one thing to have a process. It's another to follow it
with
discipline. It's like building muscle memory.
Mm-hmm.
My perspective would be, let the data lead you. Mm-hmm. Anecdotal perspectives, gut checks, relying only on your experience. The marketplace is evolving and is as dynamic as ever. So leveraging voice of customer, leveraging data, market insights to make good business decisions and cascade that information down in your organization so you can power others to make good decisions.
Well, Walt Melcher and Hans Bachmeier, thank you for joining us on New Manufacturing Insights.
Great to be here.
Thanks for having us.
As always, we would like to thank Woodward Community Media for production support and Stoke RGA for sponsoring the podcast. New Manufacturing Insights is out every Thursday, everywhere you listen. We'll be back again next week with more New Manufacturing Insights. Bye.
Bye.